Hey everyone, thanks for downloading From the Tops podcast. I'm violinist Charles Yang, and as an alum of the show, I was overjoyed when they asked me to guest host this program. Then I met the kids who I'd be working with, and I was simply blown away. I'm so excited for the future of music. These kids play with such conviction, and I hope you enjoy the show as much as we enjoyed making it.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's today's guest host, violinist Charles Yang.
How's everyone doing tonight? Yeah! Well, welcome. Thank you so much for coming. This is really special to me. 15 years, 2 months, and 16 days ago, I was on From the Top. I was this kind of chubby, buzzhead kid, nerdy kid that, you know, From the Top was in my hometown in Austin, Texas, and I got to play on it. And my life has never been the same since. I love this program because, you know, it mentors and it champions young musicians on stage and off stage. And I think that's the most beautiful thing. You know, I've really learned so much, and it's really supported me throughout my musical journeys. I feel From the Top in some way gave me the confidence to pursue the non-traditional career I've been pursuing. And I see that blatantly in these young artists that you're going to see tonight. So it's a beautiful thing that I get to pay it all forward today and in such a magical place. I'm speaking to you from the stage of the Villar Performing Arts Center, which is located 8,000 feet above sea level in the Rocky Mountain Resort of Beaver Creek, Colorado. Thank you to the classical series at the VPAC for bringing us here. I want to immediately introduce my co-host for today's show, the brilliant musician, one of my best friends, and our collaborator for tonight, Mr. Peter Dugan!
Thank you. Thank you. Well, Charles, thank you very much. You know, we met 11 years ago as classmates at Juilliard. Well, as I remember, I was practicing some gospel music. I was just jamming out, and you came into my practice room, just barged in, and we started jamming, and we've been performing as a duo ever since. And I got to say, it's always an honor to be on the stage with you, my brother.
Oh, man.
You know, Charles is a humble guy, so let me just fill in his bio a little bit for you. He is known internationally as one of the leading innovators of the violin and for his fantastic, magnetic personality and charisma on stage. You're going to see all of that today. You're also going to hear his incredible classical chops, his virtuosity, and the fact that he can combine that with an appetite for every musical genre. This guy performs everything from classical concertos to bluegrass and folk and pop and R&B. He truly does it all. And he tours internationally as a violinist and the lead singer of the groundbreaking string trio Time for Three. So basically, it's going to be a great show, folks. We're really in for a treat. And Charles,
yeah,
back
well,
to you.
Well, thank you. I paid you $20 to say that. I might give you an extra tip. You know, thank you for those kind words, but I'm really nothing. I'm chopped liver compared to this girl right here, the superb young violinist on stage, now to kick off the show. Please welcome from Bellevue, Washington, the winner of the 2018 Stahlberg International String Competition, 16-year-old violinist Charlotte Marks. Hi, Charlotte. Tell everyone what you and Peter are going to perform.
We're going to perform a Waxman Carmen Fantasy.
All right. When you're ready, you can take it from the top.
Thank you.
Charlotte Mark, 16, from Bellevue, Washington, played Franz Waxman's Carmen Fantasy with my co-host pianist Peter Dugan. That is one of the hardest pieces for the violin repertoire, and you just nailed it.
Thank you.
I understand that you love Harry Potter.
Yes. That is a huge understatement. I am over the moon, obsessed with Harry Potter. In kindergarten, I actually got in trouble because I was scaring the other children. This is a direct quote, scaring all of the other children because I wouldn't stop speaking in Parseltongue.
Speaking of Parseltongue, please speak it right now.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Why would you say that to me?
I'm sorry.
Actually, I do not speak Parseltongue.
It was a compliment. You didn't.
It was.
You just
it was
don't
a
understand.
Compliment. Yes, I. It's cool. You're cool. You do all these cool things. You know, you don't just play classical violin.
Yes.
You play your pop arrangements, which I've seen on YouTube, which are unbelievable. You do fiddling. Of course, you play classical music. What's the attraction of doing all this for you?
Well, I feel like a lot of it is about what helps audiences really respond to. I've noticed that a lot of times audiences really connect to something that seems somehow familiar. And of course, the pop arrangements, the tunes, the melodies are instantly, they latch onto them. But also there's something in, I'm mostly versed in Scottish music, but the folk fiddling, there's something, I think it's the rhythms, that just really gets to people. Like recently, I've been performing the Tchaikovsky Concerto, and I've been doing it with this beautiful Scottish air as an encore. And whenever people come up to me after I play, they're always like, oh, well, your Tchaikovsky was beautiful. And you can tell that, like, they can't wait to get to the end of the Tchaikovsky was beautiful. And then they talk about my encore. They're like, your encore is just beautiful, and it took my breath away, and what's the name of the tune? And talk about the encore, like, way more than they talk about the Tchaikovsky, which is kind of unfair because, like, the Tchaikovsky is, like, 40 minutes long. But I totally appreciate it.
Gave them the icing on the cake.
Yeah, and it made me realize that, really, there's something incredibly valuable in this music that it just really cuts to the core with these people.
Well, absolutely. You know, Charles does the same thing.
Yes.
I've heard him do a lot of encores in different styles. He's a Texas boy, and he's quite skilled at the Texas fiddling. So what I'm thinking is, would you guys, as a little treat for our audience right now, just give us a taste of kind of combining your superpowers and play for us just a little ditty, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Sure,
all right.
Sure.
I'll give you a little shuffle. How's that?
Yeah.
You play some Scottish, air, and I'll play some Texas fiddle.
Awesome.
What key you want?
A.
A. Okay, count it off.
1, 2, 3.
Charlotte Marks.
Yeah.
Give it up for Charlotte Marks. 16 from Bellevue, Washington. Thank you so much, Charlotte. I'm happy to say that Charlotte will be back later in the program to perform a special collaboration we've put together for today's show. Thank you, Charlotte.
Charlotte stars in one of From the Top's most successful online videos. Check it out by going to youtube.com/FromTheTop. Over the last 13 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2.5 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. There are still many more scholarships to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
My name is Benjamin Lee. I'm 16 years old, and I play the erhu. People call the erhu the Chinese violin. However, it should be the other way around, because the erhu is about 1,000 years older than the violin. Maybe the violin should be called the Western erhu. So what is the erhu exactly? Well, a 5-inch sound box sits on the player's thigh, which is attached to a long vertical neck. The neck leads up to the tuners and strings, where the pitch is changed and the instrument is bowed. The most interesting aspect, however, is that the erhu not only has two strings, but that the erhu's bow is in between the strings rather than on top of them. The sound of the erhu is close to that of a human voice, which is one of the reasons why the erhu is so good at expressing human emotions, animal sounds, and much more. One example is the human suffering in this piece, Jiang He Shui, or River of Tears. Another striking feature of the erhu is that its notation is different than Western music. Instead of the lines and spaces of a Western staff, it's all numbers, 1 through 7 for a scale and dots to represent the octave. So in a D major scale, 1 would be defined to equal D, and you would get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then a 1 with a dot over it to represent a new octave. That leads to something called a movable do system, where you can easily and instantly change keys based on the numbers. I'm a math geek too, so I like having a notation system that combines my two loves, music and math. One major difference I've noticed between traditional erhu pieces and Western music is that most erhu pieces are much more specific in terms of representation. Every erhu piece comes with a unique story and history, including the piece I'm about to play. Taiji Qinxia, or Taiji Warrior of Erhu, is by an erhu master named Chen Jun. The composer connected the mechanics and sound of the erhu with Taiji and Taoism while exploring the Wudang Mountains. For example, the outside string is yang, or as you say it, yang, while the inside string is yin, or yin. The piece itself illustrates the duality and soul of the erhu. Unfortunately, I've had to abridge the piece due to time constraints, but the spirit of the piece still easily comes out. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Benjamin Lee, 16-year-old from Byron, Minnesota, played Tai Chi Warrior Erhu by Chen Jun.
Benjamin, that was so beautiful, and you gave a performance that was completely soulful, but also so well-controlled and so virtuosic. And, I mean, talk about making the instrument cry. Like, we could really feel that from
Thank
you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was the Erhu is very well known for that. So.
Yeah, well, you...
I'm glad I was able to give that to you and the audience.
You sure did. You sure did.
You told a story, man. That was... Did you guys feel that? Yeah. I loved your introduction to the Erhu. But it's no wonder that you're so articulate about the instrument because you're a serious writer.
Yes,
you wrote
I
a
am.
Book when you were just 14 years old. You wrote one, not just one book,
but
you wrote
two books.
Two books.
Yes, two books.
The second book is Complete Genius. Talk about that
yes,
one.
Yes, thank you. So the second book is called The Book of the Dead for the Modern Dead Guy, or as I like to secretly call it, How to Survive the Ancient Egyptian Afterlife for Dummies.
Yes. Yes.
So how it began was that around last Christmas, I wanted the Book of the Dead, which is the ancient Egyptian afterlife manual for surviving.
It's basically a normal thing to want.
Yeah,
for Christmas,
it's a normal thing to write. Yeah, yeah, very normal thing. Yeah. And I got it. I was amazed. But at the same time, I thought that the translations could use a little bit of spicing up and updating. So I added my own modern colloquialisms to about 58 spells that I picked straight out of this book.
Whew.
I compiled it, added some ancient Egyptian mythology, just the main events, and a whole index, How to Survive in the Duat, which is the ancient Egyptian afterlife.
That is amazing.
And I ended up with this 450-page book.
You literally...
Yeah.
Wanted a book, received the book, and said, I can do better than this book. And now it's accessible to anybody, right?
Yes.
Available.
It's right on Amazon. The Book of the Dead for the Modern Dead Guy by Benjamin Lee.
It is on my wish list now.
Check it out.
Thank you.
Well, you really did cast a spell on all of us with that Erhu.
Thank you.
And actually, when I first got called on to do this show, I heard that there was going to be our Erhu player on this show, and I was super excited. I'd never written for Erhu before, but I said, this is something that we must collaborate on.
Yes, I have a really good feeling about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Wow.
There's a reason he said good feeling, because we're about to play for you guys an arrangement, a collaborative piece that we're all going to play for you guys, made famous by Nina Simone. It's Feeling Good. You guys probably will recognize it. And Charlotte Marx, the young violinist who opened the program, is back on stage to join us along with my co-host, Mr. Peter Dugan. Wow. Two of today's teenagers, Charlotte Marx and Benjamin Lee, give them a round of applause. Man. Charlotte Marx and Benjamin Lee joined Peter Dugan and me in our arrangement of Feeling Good by Leslie Brickus and Anthony Newley.
If you like From the Top, make sure you like us on Facebook. It's the easiest way to stay in touch with everything From the Top. You'll find daily videos, articles, photos, and a thriving community of fans. Join the fun by going to facebook.com/fromthetopfans.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. And from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Villar Performing Arts Center in Beaver Creek, Colorado. Coming up, an evocative guitar solo piece played by a 16-year-old from Denver. Today's show from Beaver Creek is made possible with support from the classical series at VPAC Underwriters, Gina Browning and Joe Illick, as well as Christine and Kerry Stokes and lodging partner The Christie Lodge. Here again is our guest host, violinist and alum of From the Top, Charles Yang.
Next up, we're going to feature a contemporary piece that is part of From the Top's new music series. Joining my co-host, Peter Dugan, to play this music is our next young player, a flutist from Simi Valley, California. Please welcome 17-year-old Scott Quirk.
Hey, Scott, can you tell everyone what you and I are going to play together?
Today, we are going to be playing Salmon Lake from Daniel Dorff's Three Lakes Sonata. It was composed in 2013, and it captures what it was like for the composer as an 8-year-old to play around Salmon Lake in central Maine.
Thank you.
Salmon Lake from Daniel Dorff's Three Lake Sonata, played by Scott Quirk, 17 years old, from Simi Valley, California, along with my co-host pianist, Peter Dugan. Scott is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists.
Scott, that was so much fun to play together. And, you know, I especially love your rhythmic control. I felt like all the way through that piece, you were just locked into the groove. Didn't matter if the time signature was changing or the rhythmic subdivisions were changing. You were locked in. It was like I had a rock drummer there on stage with me. It was so much fun. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Scott, how did you come to the flute?
I actually started playing the flute because my dad brought one home from a pawn shop.
Yes.
So he,
good find.
He put it on my music stand and was like, there you go.
Wow. Someone else's loss became
yeah.
the world's treasure. Right? Man.
Thank you.
Well, you must be very thankful that your dad got that flute.
I'm very thankful.
But you didn't have a flute teacher for a while. Right?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
It sounds kind of silly, but when I was in middle school, I didn't know that you needed a private teacher. I thought you only needed one if you were really struggling.
Right.
I didn't realize that they could help you even if you
that
were doing
true.
All right.
That is true. I mean, yeah. If you're struggling, there, you know, a teacher does
yeah.
help.
So seriously, though, what were you doing? How did you learn how to play the flute?
I learned off of YouTube.
Woo!
I watched a lot of videos.
Nice.
And the internet.
And so then when you finally did get to the point where you were like, okay, I need a teacher to teach me the finer points, mm-hmm. Were there any things you had to change about, you know, based on what you had learned from YouTube?
Yeah, there were a few things. My hand position, my hand was really like scrunched up against the flute. And so I had to learn how to take it away from the instrument. And I also had to learn how to readjust my mouth over the flute.
Man, it's pretty amazing that you used a resource like YouTube. I mean, social media today, I mean, Instagram, social media, Facebook, is such a great resource for performers today, right?
Yeah.
It's a great start for anybody. But it also can be a chore, right?
Yeah.
You got to post every day and you got to go see other things.
Consistency.
Yeah, consistency. And you acquired an online following pretty early on. Right? On
yeah.
Instagram?
Yeah, on Instagram.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I have a flute Instagram where I just post a whole bunch of things, like anything music or flute related, and people just started following, and so now I have about 4,500 followers or so.
Make it 4,501. What's your Instagram handle?
It's @Scott_Quirky.
Got it. You got to follow him. Mr. Scott Quirk, 17 years old from Simi Valley, California. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
From the Top musicians want to change the world for the better, and we're here to support them. That's why From the Top offers leadership training to all of our young musicians. And we're out there with them doing community engagement projects all across the country. Learn more about all our programs at fromthetop.org. Podcasts of From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week on iTunes, on our website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next up, an outstanding guitarist from Denver, 16-year-old Gwyneth Egler, will play the opening movement of Libre Sonatine by Roland Dianz.
Thank you.
Gwyneth Aguilar, 16, from Denver, played the opening movement titled India from the Libre Sonatine by Roland Dianz.
I'm an amateur guitarist, and I'm so inspired right now. I'm so inspired.
Thank you so much.
God, it was so good.
You made magic happen in the hall right at the end.
Yeah.
It was you could hear a pin drop in here. Gwyneth,
beautiful.
You have a very funny story about how you got your start playing the guitar.
Yeah, I actually I started to learn guitar because of Starburst.
Very nice.
Yeah, because actually what happened is my mom couldn't pick me up from school on Thursdays, so she enrolled me in a guitar enrichment. And at first, I didn't really even want to be in guitar enrichment until I found out that we got Starburst.
I mean, that's the best kind.
Yeah. And the more like chords and notes you got right, the more Starburst you got. And so I actually like
good
practiced
deal.
And learned guitar so that I could get neat Starburst.
Man, that's
But then eventually, I really came to love the sound of the guitar. And pretty soon, I was practicing and wanting to learn more guitar without any candy involved. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
As the hours of practice went up, the amount of candy went down.
Exactly, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a random way you began. But since then, you say you've learned a lot of deep life lessons from the guitar. Like what?
Yeah, well, I think two of the most important lessons you can learn from playing any kind of music, and I really think in any kind of art form, is humility and also generosity and giving to other people. And I think an example of that would be a perfect example of how those two things can intertwine would be through something that a guitarist who was actually once on this show told me. His name's Javier Jara,
cool.
Great guitarist. But he once said, I heard him say that when you see a performance, you usually only see one person on the stage in that performance. If it's a solo performance, maybe there's an orchestra on stage, but usually there's not too many people on stage. It's usually only a few people.
Right.
But there's way more than one person on stage in a solo performance, even if you only see one person. When you play a performance, the person who made your instruments on stage, your teachers on stage, the composer on stage, even the person who made your clothing.
Yeah.
On stage. And so you have to be humble, and that you have to recognize that it's not just you who's giving that performance, it's a lot of different people. You also have to be generous, that you have to give thanks to everyone who helped you get there.
Man, well
wow.
said.
Yeah.
Well said. It's 100. It's the legacy, right? As a performer, it's humbling to play on stage for hundreds of people, thousands of people, even two people sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But it's the legacy of who you are as a performer, how you got your training, everything involved. It's quite humbling, and it just, you know, it's great to kind of push down the ego a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Gwyneth, I'm so taken by your playing, and I'm thrilled that you'll be back at the end of the show to perform our finale, and I get to jam out with you.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to jam out with you. So.
Thank you so much. Gwyneth Aguilar, 16 years old, from Denver, Colorado. Amazing. My co-host, Peter Dugan, my bro, is now yielding the piano bench to a terrific 15-year-old pianist from Alhambra, California, named Mark Soong. Mark, tell everyone what you're going to play.
I'll be performing a paraphrase on Figaro's Aria, otherwise known as Largo al Factotum, from Barber de Seville by Gregory Ginsberg.
Thank you.
Gregory Ginsberg's paraphrase of Figaro's aria from Rossini's Barber of Seville, played by Mark Soong, 15, from Alhambra, California. And Mark, let me just say, as a fellow pianist, wow. I am just floored by not only the technical mastery which you just demonstrated, your sixth. I need a lesson from you on those sixths, and also on your glissando technique. You just made that piano roar. Plus, you played that piece with so much elegance and charm. I think you just put a lot of baritones to shame.
Woo, definitely.
Like a lot of the young musicians we meet, you're pretty good at math. From what I understand, you had an experience that you were telling me about where this sort of music world and the math world intersected in a very cool way.
Yeah, so to be more specific, it was my teacher always selects like the problem from the back of the textbook. And so I was stuck on one of those moment of inertia problems. I was like, well, I shouldn't sit here. I'm not going to get this answer. I should go practice. And then once I practice, 5 minutes later, I'm like, aha, that's where I went wrong in the process, and then I'm able to solve it. But the funny thing is that there is nothing specific about the practicing of piano that I can point out that actually helped me solve those physics problems, but it's just like a mere coincidence.
But it worked for you.
I guess.
Are you going to bring the piano to your SAT exams? Because it might work.
Folks, sign your kids up for piano lessons
today. There you go. But piano for you doesn't just help you think, it helps you emotionally, right? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so it can have a restorative effect, but it can also create the opposite effect. I'll elaborate more. So when I feel down sometimes, like a more upbeat or light piece, it makes me happier, kind of like this paraphrase. Or I can just listen to a more like a sad piece, and it just makes me feel even more moody at the times. And also, when I get angry, like a more nocturne-like piece, if I play or listen to it, like it calms me down. Or a more fiery Prokofiev piece, it just unleashes my anger. So it can have, so there are like multiple effects.
Oh, it's a magical thing, right? That's why we all love to do it. That's why we're on this stage. And we definitely felt that through your Barber of Seville. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mark Soong, 15 years old, from Alhambra, California.
Gwyneth, our young guitarist, is joining us again on stage right now for a very special finale we've got planned for today's show. Charles, I'd like you to introduce this one because you wrote it.
Whoa! The piece is called Loopy, and I wrote it because I was pretty loopy that day. But, you know, Peter and I tour a lot, and one time during our set, he was like, hey, let me get a shot at that Loopy song. And he added piano to it. And it's been way better now, and we do it all the time now. And when we heard that Gwyneth was going to be on the show, we're like, let's add guitar.
Yeah.
Let's add guitar. Yeah. So this is actually the first time you're going to be hearing, for everybody, the first time you'll be hearing Loopy for violin, piano, and guitar.
That's right.
So, all right, but before we kick in, I want to say thank you to my co-host, my bro, the incredible Peter Dugan. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank all our young performers on this program. They are phenomenal. Give them a round of applause. Unbelievable. And thank you all for listening. This is violinist Charles Yang, and I invite you to listen to From the Top again next week. And now, Gwyneth, let's take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Alliance for Lifetime Income, a nonprofit composed of financial services organizations working to educate Americans about options for securing protected lifetime income in retirement. More at AllianceForLifetimeIncome.org. And from the Zimmel Family Foundation, supporting the National Center for Learning Disabilities, which works to improve the lives of the 1 in 5 individuals with learning and attention issues. Learn more at ncld.org.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You know, while From the Top is on NPR, it's not actually owned by NPR. It's an independent nonprofit company based in Boston. And every year, it takes a huge push for us to make the show happen financially. So I ask you to please consider donating to our organization so that we can bring you joy, podcast after podcast. Go to fromthetop.org and click on support.